This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Our hour of crime drama begins with the adventures of Ellery Queen this week. We'll hear the adventure of The Message in Red from November 7th, 1945. After that, it's Jeff Regan, investigator, and The Man in the Door, his story from August 28th, 1948.
Now, Ellery Queen in The Adventure of The Message in Red. Because it relieves headache pain so fast.
Take an Anacin.
Because it gives prolonged relief.
Take an Anacin.
Because it's made like a doctor's prescription.
Take an Anacin.
Anacin presents The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Tonight, the makers of Anacin bring you another thrilling adventure of Ellery Queen, the celebrated gentleman detective. Ellery Queen invites you to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unraveled. Before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve the mystery. Tonight, Anacin's guest, who will represent you home armchair detectives, is the famous actor Victor Jory. And now, here's Ellery Queen, master detective, and your Anacin host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Don Hancock, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight's mystery really had my father going.
Your father, huh?
Oh, Nicky.
I suppose all those murders were duck soup for you, huh?
Oh, no, Nicky, this case was no harder than many I've had. Anyway, I call it The Adventure of The Message in Red.
Hotel Arbutus, public stenographer. Yes, I'm Miss Kirby. At this hour? But... All right. If you drop into my office right away, I'll try to get it out tonight. Oh, why can't they just take their old business letters during the day? Oh, gee, I'm tired. I'd better douse my eyes with cold water. I'm so sleepy I could... So soon. Coming! Gee, they must have used a house phone from the lobby. Come in, won't you?
Hooray! Hooray! In Dixieland! Now, who's that? Nobody out here. Oh. Now, who'd be using that talky thing from the vestibule? Nobody does. Yes? Yes, this Miss Hazel? But at this time of night? I was just going to bed. Been washing my supper dishes. All right. If they've just got to have a reader's report on it by tomorrow morning... Just open the vestibule door, and my apartment's the first door on your right. Would be my luck if it's one of those half a million word jobs. Just a second. Oh, I wish I were in the land of cutting. Old times there are not...
Yes. Yeah. And that's all you've got to tell me, Pinkett? Call back when you make sense. Sorry, Ellery, to keep you and Nicky waiting.
Those two killings last night, Dad, huh?
Yes. Lasted.
What two killings, Inspector? I haven't seen today's paper.
Two girls, Nicky. First one, a public stander with the Hotel Arbutus on Lexington Avenue. Shot to death at 9:15 p.m. Name of Kirby.
Second one, a part-time manuscript reader for Mason and Morrison, the publishers of Miss Hazel... Shot to death around 10:30 p.m. in her Greenwich Village apartment.
Both has opened their doors. No evidence of robbery. Both unmarried, unattractive, no entangling alliances. Lived alone. No witnesses, no clues, no motive. And the girls never knew each other. Never knew any of the same people. Cute?
Then the murders aren't connected, Inspector.
But they are, Nicky. Ballistics reports the same gun killed both of them.
I don't wonder you're puzzled.
I think it's a nut kill myself, Ellery. Yes, Bailey?
Afternoon, Sergeant.
Hi, Miss Porter. Maestro.
Hello, Sergeant.
Inspector. No, what?
No. What?
Another one.
No.
What?
Yeah, a girl shot to death. She answered her door around 1 a.m. last night. Body wasn't found till this morning.
Ooh, number three last night.
Who is this one, Bailey?
Lady's maid, Lucille Dubois.
Dubois, Sergeant, French.
Yeah, French maid. Worked for the Canellas.
Canella? The Vetti Canellas?
The same.
She was shot in the Canella house, Sergeant.
Yeah, that 199-room shack on Upper Fifth Avenue, in her bedroom.
A stenographer, a publisher's reader, and a lady's maid. Mind if I sit in, Dad?
You can make any sense out of it, son. Come on.
Oh, my poor head. My home overrun with police officers. I've had to cancel the most important appointment this afternoon with my hairdresser.
And Mrs. Canella, if you let me get away...
My husband is simply furious. My daughter, poor child, prostrate.
Look, Mrs. Canella...
And I'm on the verge of losing what little mind I have.
And Mrs. Canella...
You understand, Mr. Crean. I know you do.
The death of your maid has upset you, naturally.
Oh, yes. Where am I going to turn? How can I replace Lucille? You don't know the trouble I had getting her originally. And now she's dead. It's not fair. It isn't.
The trouble is, gentlemen, you don't know the problems we girls have.
Yes, yes.
Look, madam, how did this happen?
I'm sure I don't know. People shooting off guns in my home and everything. I'm so glad I wasn't home when it happened, even though the house is completely soundproof.
Your husband, will you, madam?
Mr. Connett? Oh, no. No, he was out somewhere. His club or something.
How about your daughter?
Madge. Oh, now, please. Don't drag poor Madge into this. She suffered so much already.
When did you first learn your maid was dead, Mrs. Connella?
About 11 o'clock this morning, Mr. Crean. When she didn't bring my breakfast in bed, I knew instantly something was wrong.
Well, of course. That's the way you tell.
Oh, yes. I rang and I rang and I rang.
Mrs. Canella, who found the stiff?
Stiff?
The remains, madam.
Why, my daughter. One of the servants told Madge that Lucille's light was still on this morning, and she didn't answer the door. So Madge went up to the servants' quarters and went in and... The poor child, the poor child. That's why no one answered my rings, you see.
Leaving you without breakfast. Oh, that's simply frightful,
oh, yes,
Mrs. Canella. Yes, well, suppose you have a little snack of caviar and cold pheasant or something while we hunt up your daughter.
Oh, dear, must you?
Must we what, madam?
Give Madge the third degree or whatever it is. You don't know how sensitive the child is. She's always been so delicate. She shrinks so from the more brutal aspects of life.
Oh, Mother, stop drooling.
Oh, Madge, darling, are you all right, dear?
Definitely not. Are these some more policemen? Who's the wench, a sob sister?
The wench is Nicky Porter, Mr. Queen's secretary.
Ellery Queen.
Sergeant Villy.
Inspector Queen. Now, Miss Canella.
And you're in charge. Why isn't that body taken away, and who's going to clean up the mess? And you're to keep reporters out, too, do you hear? Thing like this happening now. Do you hear me? No, newspaper men.
Oh, dearest, don't excite yourself.
Oh, shut up, Mother. All this is your silly fault anyway.
My fault?
Yes, I told you long ago you should send that snoop packing, but no, you had to hang on to it till she had the bad taste to get herself murdered all over our house. What am I going to say to Evie?
Evie?
My fiancé. At least our engagement was supposed to be announced this week. One of the very best Boston families. He'll never stand for a scandal.
Why should you think there's going to be a scandal, Miss Canella?
Oh, well, isn't a murder scandal enough?
I don't think that's what your daughter meant, Mrs. Canella. Yeah?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't mean anything.
Let's take a look at the corpse.
Interesting.
What, Ellie?
Notice the facing surfaces, the tips of her index and middle fingers, Dad, on the right hand.
Huh. All calloused. Funny place for calluses.
Yes.
If you gentlemen are through admiring Miss Dubois' calluses, would you mind covering up again so I can turn around?
Hmm? Oh. All right now, Nicky.
But how do you know this maid's murder is connected with the other two murders?
Bradley was here early and dug the bullet out of her chest, Nicky. Ballistics just reported it came the same gun that shot the Kirby and Hazel girls. Just what the connection is, I'm blessed. Oh, Vili?
Yeah, you throw with the corpus, Inspector. The morgue wagon's here for the pickup.
Take her away.
She's all yours, boy.
What did you find out about the other servants, Sergeant?
Names? Butler, James Smathers. Cook, Sally Fabian. Chauffeur, Waller Boyle. Upstairs maid, Vera Andorf. Smathers and Boyle share a double room, so do the Fabian and Andorf woman. Each bunkie alibis the other for last night. Period.
Mother, you know you shouldn't be up here. Just your morbid curiosity.
Oh, I don't know why you say such things to me, Madge, baby. Oh, look what they're doing.
Stay out here in the hall, Margaret. You too, Madge.
Inspector Queen.
Who are you?
I'm Milford Canella. My wife just phoned my club. Is there anything I can do?
Excuse me, folks. Okay, boys, take her through.
Oh, Madge, I can't look. Oh, poor Lucy.
Be yourself, Mother.
Well, Mr. Canella, we were just... Pardon me. Harry, what's that you just picked up?
Oh, well, this piece of scrap paper was hidden by Lucille Dubois' body, Dad.
A message in red. Red?
Message? Let me see.
In red? Is it? Oh, it is.
Written in blood.
She must have lingered a few minutes after the shot. When that killer left, she tried to write something before she died.
What's it say, Ellery?
Starts with a capital M, but there are a lot of spatters in the paper, and I can't quite make the rest out.
I'll have Craney look it over in the police lab. He'll decipher it. Give it to me, son.
It's quite important that you make a quick arrest, Inspector.
What's that mean, Mr. Canella?
I expect very shortly to be appointed to an extremely important diplomatic post abroad. So this unfortunate little affair must be cleared up at once. And without scandal.
Milford has worked so hard for the honor.
Yes, it's been Father's pet dream.
In fact, Inspector, unless you solve this case within 24 hours, I may have to see to it that someone else is put in charge. Come, Margaret.
Madge.
And Father's just the little guy who can do it.
Dad. Harry, where are you going?
I have to confirm a theory, Dad.
Theory? About what, son?
About the connection between the three murders last night. I think I know now what it was. Anybody care to come along?
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery. We'll tell you more in just a moment, but first, here's Don Hancock for Anacin.
Friends, if you want quick, comforting relief from pounding headache pain...
Take an Anacin.
Yes, take an Anacin, because Anacin relieves headache pain so swiftly. Millions now know that easy-to-take Anacin tablets act fast, give prolonged relief. And that's why we say...
Take an Anacin.
There's a good reason why Anacin relieves the agonizing pain of headaches so much more quickly. Anacin is made like a doctor's prescription. That is, it contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. Your own physician or dentist may have already recommended Anacin to you. That's how millions first discovered Anacin's incredibly fast relief. And now, at the first sign of the pains of headache, neuralgia, or neuritis, they simply...
Take an Anacin.
Anacin, spelled A-N-A-C-I-N, is sold at all drugists. So if you want fast, prolonged relief from headache pain...
Take an Anacin.
And now, back to our story. It's a short time later, and the inspector's car, with Sergeant Feely at the wheel, is threading its way through midtown Manhattan traffic.
But what is the connection, Ellery?
And how'd you know, Marshal?
Well, what was the occupation of the first victim, the Kirby girl?
Published in Abbott.
And the second one, Miss Hazel?
The Greenwich Village gal?
Or she was a part-time manuscript reader for Mason and Morrison.
A public stenographer, a publisher's reader. Now, Dad, do you recall the peculiar calluses we found on Lucille Dubois' right hand?
And the facing sides of the tips of her index and middle fingers.
What very ordinary activity, if sufficiently prolonged, would cause calluses there?
Holding a pen or a pencil.
Yes, Nikki, writing. But not casual writing, like the occasional writing of letters. Lucille Dubois was writing a great deal for a long time. Weeks, months.
A diary.
Perhaps, at least a very extensive manuscript in longhand, Sergeant. So, we have Lucille Dubois, lady's maid in a very wealthy society family, writing a long manuscript by hand. When it was finished, what would happen to such a manuscript?
You take it to a public stenographer.
To be typed.
Surely, the unfortunate Miss Kirby. And where do people usually take typed manuscripts?
To a publisher.
And most publishers employ readers to weed out undesirable submissions. And that's your Miss Hazel of the Village. Simple?
Maestro, you're a genius.
The men at Gare's are probably the only three people in the world who've read a certain unpublished manuscript.
And that's why they were murdered.
Man, it must be dynamite. The killer must have swiped it, probably from the Hazel girl's apartment in the village after he bumped her off.
And destroyed it, Teddy.
Yes, but there's still a possibility that something...
Well, here we are, Maestro.
Here's Rockefeller Center. Come on.
I
must say, Mason and Morrison go in for book publishing in a large and handsome way, Ellery.
They're a bit on the sensational side, Nikki. Miss Jenkins?
Yes, Alberta Jenkins.
Are you the assistant editor my son spoke to on the receptionist phone?
Yes, and you must be Inspector Queen.
That's right.
I must say I'm all of a flutter. Am I arrested?
Not exactly, Miss Jenkins. Did you bring the list I asked you for?
Here it is. All the manuscripts turned over to Miss Hazel the past few months for a reader's report. Let me see, Ellery.
Sorry, she read a lot, doesn't she?
It'll be quite recent, I think. Ah, look at this entry, Dad.
Maid tells all. By Lucille Dubois.
That's
wow!
Miss Jenkins, where's this manuscript? Are you sure Miss Hazel didn't return it to Mason and Morrison?
I'm pretty sure she didn't, Inspector, but come into my office. No, it isn't here.
Oh, no.
But I just remembered. Where is that again?
Remembered what, Miss Jenkins?
There was a letter from Miss Hazel in this morning's mail. I've been so busy today. Here it is. Still unopened.
Gammy,
give that to me, baby.
Well.
Dear Miss Jenkins, enclosed is a short preliminary report on three of the last batch of manuscripts.
I will personally deliver the manuscripts plus full reports later this week. The enclosed thumbnail reports cover number one.
Give Back My Lover by Flo Gently.
Phooey. Romance in a phone booth, my George Jett bag. Wow.
And The Maid Tells All by Lucille Dubois.
No.
Miss Jenkins, would you mind leaving us for a moment?
I certainly do mind, Mr. Queen, but... Well...
Where's that report the Hazel woman enclosed? Ah, here.
Now we'll find out.
Maid Tells All. Sensational true life story of high life as seen from backstairs. Stylus faulty. Author obviously thinks in French, but might be worth a rewrite. Possibly high sales appeal, but must be screened carefully by legal departments against libel suits. That's all.
Maid's manuscripts filled a lot of nasty, unsuspected stuff about the Canellas that would have cost Milford Canella that high diplomatic post he's been angling for.
Or Madge Canella, her blue-blood Boston marriage.
Yes, yeah, somehow the killer discovered what Lucille was writing, who typed her manuscript, and the name of the publisher she sent it to.
And through the publisher, which reader had it.
So he's got to wipe out whoever read it. Steno, wham. Reader, wham. And he swipes the manuscript from her apartment. Then he goes back to the Canella dump and blasts Lucille and the secrets of sight.
Too safe, blast it. I thought we might find a clue here to the killer's identity. But apparently the whole Canella family has motive.
Stymied. Let's go down to headquarters. Maybe the autopsy's turned up something.
Don't drive so fast, Sergeant. You just passed a snail.
There's nothing to rush for, Miss Porter.
You could only see some daylight.
In this darkness, Inspector? Oh, at least I'm enjoying this ride on the East River Drive. Or I would be if the great man's thoughts weren't...
No, of course.
Of course.
Oh, Mr. Queen is with us again.
Why then, Ed?
The answer, Dad. It's right in your pocket.
What answer?
To the triple header, Master.
My pocket.
I forgot, you forgot, we all forgot, Dad. A certain message in red.
Holy. That dang message Lucille wrote in her own blood.
Say.
The one we couldn't decipher.
Where'd I put it? Ah, here. What's the matter with
me?
Billy, get down to headquarters, quick.
Yeah, man. Ha. If anybody can make it out, it's that whizzing lab men we're in. Sailing
over the mountain. Sure,
beat it up.
Huh? What's eating you now, son?
A car right in our trail coming up fast.
Some drunk who wants a race.
With a police car out.
Billy, he's out to wreck us.
Oh, yeah?
Keep going, faster.
Look out, Sergeant.
Why the... Take a shot at
him. No, not with Nicky in the car.
Don't mind me.
He's gaining.
I could only spot the driver. It's too dark.
Billy! Watch it! Look out!
I'm in one piece.
Sorry. I'm okay, too. Inspector.
No bones broken, Billy. Oh. Ellery.
By a miracle, we're all right. Oh, Billy, that was quick thinking.
Certainly was.
Yeah, if it weren't for the way you took that crash, Sergeant, We've been through the retaining wall at the bottom of the river.
Thanks, but look at the car, Inspector.
Never mind the car. Why?
Dad, Lucille's message.
Huh?
All three Canellas were present when I found it under Lucille's body this afternoon.
One of them must have trailed us.
Waiting a chance to destroy Lucille's clue before we could get it to headquarters.
Then the killer is one of the Canellas. And her message tells which one.
Hey, the car, Feely. Let's get to that lab.
Sergeant.
Well, Feely?
What's the lab verdict?
Well, it's this way.
Sergeant.
No good.
Kinda looks like a puzzler, Inspector.
Never mind characterizing it, Feely. What did they say the message is?
It starts with a capital M, Maestro, like you said, then a period.
M period, yes?
Then a space, then a capital K, then a small I-N, the N trailing off like she died before she could finish the word. And that's all.
Capital M period, space, capital K, small I-N.
Capital K, small I-N. The start of the name Canella.
No doubt about it, Nicky.
But what's the capital M period space mean?
Last name Canella. M period must be the initial of one of the Canella's first names.
Milford Canella. M for Milford.
Well, the daughter's name also starts with an M, Nicky. Madge.
Well, then it's either Madge or old man.
Let's not leave out Mrs. Canella. Don't you recall Canella addressing his wife as Margaret?
Frost. Another washout. Again, it could be any of the three. Let's go back to the Canella house. I'll find out which one it is. Good evening.
Oh, dear. That Inspector man again.
And that nice Mr. Queen, etc.
Well, Inspector, have you cleared up this mess?
Where were you three late this afternoon and early evening? Where were you?
I needed air. I was strolling in Central Park.
Alone, Mrs. Canella?
Yes.
How about you, Mr. Canella?
Well, as a matter of fact, I took a walk myself down Fifth Avenue. Very upsetting business, you know.
Meet anybody you know, Mr. Canella?
No.
And you, Miss Canella?
I took one of our cars and drove around town for a while just to cool off. I'd had a phone call from dear Evie in Boston.
My daughter's fiancé told her they'd better wait about announcing the engagement until this miserable affair blows over. I knew it. I just knew it.
Aren't we getting off the track?
No alibis.
Well, Ellery, anything to ask these three people before I take them downtown for a real going over?
No, but why do you want to take them to headquarters, Dad?
Why do I... To find out which one of them bumped off the Kirby and Hazel girls and Mrs. Canella's maid. That's why.
Oh, I can tell you that, Dad. Right here and now. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Now, suppose you home armchair detectives match wits with Aniston's guest for this evening.
And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, the famous actor of stage, screen, and radio, is Mr. Victor Jory, who is starring on Broadway in the hit play, Therese.
Good evening, Mr. Jory. It's nice to have you with us.
Well, Mr. Jory, I guess tonight's show is a change for you, isn't it?
It certainly is. Because generally I'm on the other end. I'm the prisoner and the murdering, Ellery.
Well, you always are the criminal, but you're always so wonderful, too.
Well, thank you, Nicky. I hope you'll like me just as well in the role of detective.
Sure. Well, Mr. Jory, who do you think murdered the three women?
Well, I'm not very sure. I think it was the mother, Margaret Canella.
Why do you think that?
My only reason for thinking that is because the Milford Canella... suspicion is planted on him instantly by the fact that he says that he has a very important post and it's very valuable to him. The daughter backs that up. The mother has said nothing. Furthermore, the mother's alibi, being in Central Park, seems to me one that could be shaken less easily than the man who walked down Fifth Avenue, which might be checked on, or the girl in the car, because the car could be checked on afterwards.
Thank you, Mr. Jory. You'll find out in just a moment if your solution is correct. Now, here's Don Hancock for Aniston.
Today, millions are switching to Aniston. For Aniston is the modern way to relieve headache suffering. There's nothing to fuss with, nothing to mix or spill. Just easy to take little tablets that you carry right in your pocket or purse. And Aniston is the fast way to prolonged relief. Prove it Next time you have a headache,
take an Anacin.
Anacin must give you fast, prolonged relief or your money back. I'll repeat that. If you're not thoroughly satisfied that Anacin does much more for your headache pain, simply return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. So tomorrow, ask your druggist for the small, inexpensive package containing 12 Anacin tablets. Take only as directed. If pain persists or is unusually severe, see your physician. Remember, there's only one Anacin. Don't be satisfied with anything less. Next time you have a headache pain,
take an Anacin.
But how, Maestro?
Time! All right, son. You know which of these respectable citizens killed the three girls? Sing out.
Dad, what was the message Lucille Dubois left in her own blood?
Start of a killer's name. Capital M period, space, capital K-I-N for Canella.
Yes. But what did the capital M period stand for?
Well, it could only mean the initial of one of the Canella's first names, Ellery.
How can it possibly represent one of the first names, Nicky? Milford, Madge, Margaret, all M's. If Lucille had presence of mind enough to write that message, certainly she wouldn't have left an ambiguous clue. A clue that could refer to any of the Canellas. So when she wrote that capital M period, she didn't mean the initial of one of their first names. She meant some other abbreviation. One she thought would be perfectly clear.
What, Maestro?
Well, Sergeant, what abbreviation, other than a first initial, usually precedes a last name?
Huh?
Abbreviation for Mr., Mrs., or Miss. Oh, no, that would be M.R., M.R.S. And Miss has no abbreviation.
Oh, so it can't be that either, Ellery.
It can't stand for Mr., Mrs., or Miss in English. But how about French?
French?
What?
Mrs. Canella's maid was French. And that reader's report in her book actually remarked that the author obviously thinks in French. What's the French abbreviation for Mrs.? Any schoolboy knows that. Capital M, small M-E for Madam. Miss, capital M, small L-L-E for Mademoiselle. But for Mr., Monsieur, it's simply capital M, period.
Get him, Billy. I'll see you all sizzle for this.
Oh, yeah. I disagree, Mr. Canella. If anyone's going to sizzle, it's you.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. We'd like to thank Mr. Jory for being our guest armchair detective this evening. And as mementos of the occasion, Anacin has for Mr. Jory a beautiful Gruen, very thin wristwatch, a copy of my new mystery anthology, Rogue's Gallery, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine.
Ellery will be back in a moment with a preview of next week's story. Meanwhile, remember, because it relieves headache pain so fast,
take an Anacin.
Because it gives prolonged relief,
take an Anacin.
Because it's made like a doctor's prescription,
take an Anacin.
There's only one Anacin. Get Anacin tomorrow. And now, Ellery, how about next week's case? Got another mystery with three or four murders?
No, Don, only one murder next week. But it's one of the most confusing to come our way in a long time.
A tough one, huh?
Yes, we had so much evidence we didn't know what to do with it. Not to mention the problem of the bending corpse.
The bending corpse?
Looks like that, did it, Don? Now you'll have to wait till next week when Anacin presents The Adventure of the Happy Marriage.
If you are suffering miseries of a cold, why take chances with untried remedies when time-tested, reliable Hill's cold tablets may promptly relieve that dull, headachey feeling and the muscular aches and soreness of colds? Double your money back if you do not get satisfactory relief from such distress in half an hour. Take only as directed. Time the action. Only Hill's offers you double your money back if you do not get half-hour relief. Hill's cold tablets.
This is Ellery Queen saying good night. for Aniston.
Aniston is a product of the Whitehall Pharmaceutical Company. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
My name is Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day and expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon. Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action, mystery, and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Man in the Door.
Well, this is the way it started. The Lion called about 4 o'clock that afternoon, said he wanted to see me down at the office. I argued a while, finally told him I'd be there. Melody was sitting in front of her typewriter when I came in, putting a new coat of paint on her nails. She handed me a blank contract with no dates filled in, jerked a thumb toward the Lion's den. I went in.
Regan, I'm glad you got here. What do you know about architects?
They draw things.
I know that much, but what about bids and all that stuff?
Well, they figure out what a building's going to cost, don't they?
Go on.
If whoever's paying for the building likes what they write down, then they're hired.
A couple of architects, maybe 3 or 4, make bids.
Well, I suppose so. Low man gets the job. Why?
Our client's an architect named Dudley Haynes, an office in the Park Central building. He thinks maybe the bank that's handling his bid might try to put something over on him.
Banks don't do things like that.
He thinks maybe a guy who works at the bank might be taking dough to shove his bid under the counter.
Why didn't you say that in the first place?
Because I'm saying it now. Haynes wants us to look into it.
Who do I see?
Haynes first. I only talked to him on the phone. I told him we'd have to have a contract and retainer before we did anything.
That figures.
So hop over there and find out what's what and make him sign that contract and get a check.
Anything else?
Make sure it's certified and call me if you run into any trouble.
Dudley Haynes, architect, Park Central building, had an office on the 9th floor. When I went in, a girl with hair that figured to be blonde right down to the roots pulled off her glasses and put out her cigarette. And she kind of eased out of her chair behind that desk and moved toward me, like a panther looking for a meal.
My, you're tall, aren't you?
Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
Mr. Lyon said he was sending us one of his best men.
He always says that.
I think he meant it this time.
He's an awful liar, lady.
Dorothy. Dorothy Nolan.
Fitz.
The name or the dress?
Both.
What's yours?
Jeff Regan.
Oh. Well, now we know each other.
That's nice. I came to see Haynes. He wants me to look into something for him.
I know.
He was expecting me.
I know.
Well?
I hope you have to look into a lot of things.
For Haynes?
No.
This is his office, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But he spends most of his time in 902 into the hall. Makes his blueprints up there. I'll take you. You are tall.
Well, we started down the hall. We got about 10 feet from the frosted glass door at the end. We both stopped. We were looking at the outline of a big man behind the door. Both of us expected him to open it and walk out. Oh, he came out all right, but he walked right through it. Oh, he's been shot.
Oh.
You know him?
It's my boss, Mr. Haynes.
No, it was your boss, lady. He's dead. Lieutenant Salvatore Wendetti, Central Homicide Detail, showed up about 8 minutes after I called. He had his whole goon squad with him and a couple of guys in double-breasted suits from the district attorney's office. They roped off the entrance to the building, got hold of the elevator operators, the man who runs the cigar stand, and asked some questions. Then Wendetti looked at what was left of Haynes and started yelling into a phone.
Okay, just gonna barricade it open, but don't move until my fingerprint boys get through. Yeah.
Okay, sis, where the guy live?
At the Biltmore Hotel.
Where's his wife?
We didn't have one.
What do we tell?
We didn't have any family.
So no one's going to cry. Well, that makes it easier. Regan, was he your client?
No, nobody's a client until they sign a contract, Sally.
Well, you were bringing him a contract to sign, and then you could do something for him. What?
Well, I didn't talk to him.
Sis?
Mr. Haynes had made an estimate on a little office building in Beverly Hills. He thought that a man named Adler at the bank might be taking money from someone to hold his bid out.
So he wants an investigator to look into it. Why do you think that?
Well, I don't know.
You work for him.
Well, I don't know everything.
Neither do I. Hot, isn't it? Who's Adler?
Oh, that's the name to me.
Who else?
Who else?
Architects. Who else was making a bid?
I don't know that.
Now, where are we? Tully!
Yes?
Guy named Adler at the
Grand National Bank.
Pick him up and have him down in my office in half an hour.
Yes? What do you want to do about reporters, Sally?
Tell him to go jump in the lake.
Yes?
They always spell my name wrong. How long you two known each other?
An hour.
Nice.
What do you mean by that?
Just nice. Didn't hear any shots?
No, we didn't.
Tell me more about the bid.
Well, what's there to tell?
Set up.
Well, the bank handles the money.
Who says yes? Who says no?
The bank, but...
But what?
The contractor usually tells them who to take.
Huh? Who's that in this case?
Contractor in Long Beach. His name is George Cantrell.
I'll say this to you, Regan. When you get mixed up in anything, you certainly get mixed up with the good-looking people.
I'm not mixed up in anything.
What do you say, sis?
I'll keep my mouth shut.
She's a smart girl, Regan. Hello, honey. Won't be home for dinner. Some guy got himself killed and I'm in on it. Not long now. Regan? I'll tell him. Wife says hello. Says to come out to dinner sometime. Sis, how much that contract worth?
Oh, in the building in Beverly Hills, about $40,000.
Profit?
No, overall.
Break it down.
Well, Mr. Haynes would have cleared about $12,000 if he'd gotten it.
I know some guys have killed for a dime. Sam, when Daddy? I'm still at the Park Central Building. Get out to Long Beach and talk to a contractor named George Cantrell. And find out what architects were making business and stuff he was going to put up in Beverly Hills. Yeah, get the name. Okay, that about does it. Let's go. Miss Nolan?
What?
I have to take you down.
Jeff, can you do that?
You're a material witness.
What are you?
He's a bystander with a built-in lawyer.
Well, I do, Jeff.
Go with him.
Why do you want to spend the night in jail? I just worked for Mr. Haynes.
No phone calls. This is a murder case.
Well, get me a lawyer or something, Jeff.
You know a lawyer?
No. Wait, yes, I do. His name's Dave Henderson. He lives at 1648 Claremont Place. Will you see him for me? Tell him I'm in trouble?
Yeah. Check, Sally.
She didn't make a phone call, and I like her, too.
Well, look, he may not be able to do anything for you tonight. It's almost six.
But you'll see him as soon as possible?
Yeah.
Tell him I'm scared, Jeff. Scared, Steve.
Well, I stayed there and phoned the lion, told him what had happened. Well, he got mad and yelled something about me being a jinx on all our clients, and then he hung up. So I went through the classified telephone directory under attorneys and Henderson. There was a Ben, a George, a Joe, a William, but no Dave Henderson. So I drove out to the address that she'd given me. It was a blue apartment house four blocks west of Vermont over by the Coliseum. Somebody was cooking hamburgers somewhere, and somebody was all worked up over a ball game on the radio. I picked the baseball fan.
Well, what'll happen now is anybody's guess, but let me tell you that this ball game is a long way from being a... Hey, what'd I tell you? What'd I tell you? It's outside the ballpark, and they're coming in like homing pigeons. Bases are loaded, and they're all coming in. Oh, it's going to be 8-5.
Come on, the ball game's not that good.
What's so important, Pilgrim? I'm with the ball game.
I'm looking for a man named Dave Henderson, a lawyer.
So what?
Somebody told me he lives in this apartment house.
Who told you that?
A lady.
Ha!
Does he live here?
You try looking at the mailbox?
No name.
You cop?
Private type.
Ha!
Does he live here?
Sure he lives here.
Well, where?
End of the hall, 106.
Thanks.
Well, he's a lawyer, is he? With his kind of friends? Ha!
What does that mean?
You're young, ain't you, Curly?
I got a driver's license.
Let me tell you something. Don't go knocking on no doors and hear a ball game. Remember that.
Yeah, I'll remember
that. And you can tell him Tessie Bogart is not to that one.
And the score is 8-5 coming into the first half of the ninth, and this has been some ball game, let me tell you.
106. Here we are.
Come on in, it's unlocked.
Your name, Dave Henderson?
Yeah, who wants to know?
My name's Regan. I'm a private investigator with the International Detective Bureau.
Wrong steer, gumshoe. I don't need one.
Look, I'm not looking for work. I'm looking for you.
What'd you say it was? Regan?
That's right.
R-E-G-A-N. Regan. Regan. Learned that just an hour ago. Cute, huh?
I met a friend of yours today.
Dave Henderson never had a friend.
She said she was a friend of yours.
But I didn't say I was a friend of hers. Hey, who are we talking about anyway?
Dorothy Nolan.
How is Dorothy?
Not so good.
Thought you were a detective.
I am.
You sound like a doctor.
Look, you sound like a guy with a chip on his shoulder.
Sound like a lot of things. You're trying to be tough, Pete.
No wonder you aren't in the telephone directory.
I'll just skip that.
She said you were a lawyer.
I say I drink too much. Haven't seen you drinking, have you?
She wants you to get in touch with her. The man she was working for was murdered today.
Did she kill him?
Well, they're holding her.
Material witness or a suspect?
Material witness right now. She doesn't want to spend the night in jail.
Who does? That's why she isn't feeling so good, huh? She wants me to get her out.
Something like that.
Who's handling the case downtown?
Detective named Wendetti.
And where do you come in?
Well, he didn't give her that one phone call.
Uh-huh. You're sensitive. What if I said no?
Well, that's your business.
You know why she asked you to see me? Because I'm a guy she knows. And every guy who knows little Dorothy does a little something for her. Ever met him like that, Regan?
Sometimes.
I'm just checking.
Checking what?
She's pretty good with the works. Eyes just right for the job. Hair just right. Everything just right. She can make you do a lot of things you don't want to do. Wait till you see her in a bathing suit. Ooh, that's something, brother.
Well, they aren't wearing them in the county jail.
Okay, I'll phone Wendetti and find out what her bond is.
Look, this is a murder case. There's no bond on this. You know that.
It all depends how you handle it. I'll think of something.
Yeah, I'll bet you will.
We don't like each other much, do we?
Nope.
That's the way it goes.
Listen, she said to tell you she was scared.
Well, some of us are scared part of the time. And somebody gets shot. And everybody gets scared. You scared?
Nope.
Iron Man Regan. Have a good time.
Did I say Haynes was shot?
No. You didn't say a thing. See you somewhere, Peeper.
Well, I stopped by Musso Frank's and had the special, and then I went on home. I tried to make a couple of calls, but Wendetti was out, and the desk sergeant thought I was a reporter, and he wouldn't tell me a thing about Dorothy Nolan. While I was sitting there, the phone began jumping around on the hook.
Regan?
Yeah?
This is me. Where you been? I called your place 20 times, but I've called it once.
Well, I've been busy seeing a lawyer.
What do you need a lawyer for? You aren't married.
Somebody else needs one.
Who?
Dorothy Nolan, that blonde who worked up in Haynes' office when Wendetti's holding her.
Good. I want you to go down and see her.
What for?
We can still make something on this thing if we play it smart. When I talked to Haynes on the phone this afternoon, I told him I wanted a certified check.
So what?
So that means there's a check for $100 lying around his office somewhere. And it's made out to International.
Look, he's dead, remember?
Everybody dies. Don't worry about it.
We weren't even hired.
We had a verbal contract.
We had nothing.
That check's no good to anybody but us.
We didn't do anything for him.
Well, buy him some flowers. Now hop down to the pokey and see that dame and find out where that check is.
We can't do that.
I talked to Harry Presidio and he'll give us a lien to get in. Hello? Hello? Regan, you're still there?
I was still there, Hello? But I wasn't listening to the lion. I was looking at a skinny little man with one leg.
Hey, Regan, are you still there?
Now don't ask me how he made it inside my door. He was just there. Propped up on a pair of crutches, swaying back and forth, watching me with a couple of thick gray eyes that were so full of water you'd think they were going to float right out of his head. All at once, he went down like a busted sugar sack. He'd been shot twice through the neck with a small caliber gun, a 25, 32, I don't know. I found a dozen razor blades in one pocket and two dozen sets of shoelaces to go with them. There wasn't anything that told me his name, but there was a picture inside his shirt pocket. One of those things that you have taken in a penny arcade, you know, in front of phony pasteboard props. Well, a man with one leg was looking out from between a pair of painted angel's wings. And the guy standing next to him, who was smiling up at the halo, was the same man that I'd seen that afternoon. An architect named Haynes. A man who needed a private detective. A man who walked out a glass door and then dropped dead. And the one printed word above that picture stuck out like a wart on an egg that said, Happy Land.
more. Tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Here is a special and important message to every businessman listening. To every businessman, regardless of the size or the type of his business. Gentlemen, do you realize that the schools of this community help you every day that you're in business? That's right. For one thing, our schools teach the boys and girls of this community to cherish the human rights, the free enterprise on which our country and your business are founded. With each new generation graduated from our schools, the Army defending our way of life and your business grows stronger. What's more, good teachers and well-equipped schools do a better job of developing our children's talents. The result? School graduates who become more skilled and more efficient employees. So remember, any time and taxes that you contribute to improving local schools are an investment in your own business future. Education is good business. Education can maintain our freedom. And freedom is everybody's job. And now, back to the story of the man in the door and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, I left the little man with the one leg lying there. Wasn't much I could do for him. I wanted to wait before I called homicide. I took the picture I found in his pocket and I drove to Happy Land. It turned out to be an open-air penny arcade on 5th and Main. Smelled like all the hot dogs in the world had been made right there. There were machines all over the place telling you how strong you were, how rich you'd be, and who you'd marry. All for a penny. I guess it wasn't much of a bargain. The only customer was a sailor trying his luck at the shooting gallery. Back in the corner, a tired-looking girl in light blue slacks and a dirty gray sweater was sitting on a stool by the hot dog counter staring at nothing.
Want some pennies?
Not right now, no.
Oh, just looking? Go ahead. You figure out where you're going to send your money, come back and I'll give you some change.
You got a picture gallery here?
Oh. You tell me you're a real big spender and want to have your picture taken.
Maybe. You got one?
Yeah, we got one.
Where is it?
In there. If you really want to get your picture taken, I'll climb off this stool and take you back. I want to tell you now, if you're just trying to be sociable, you can go and fly a kite.
You run the picture concession?
I run the picture place and the hot dog place, and I sweep out in the morning. Oh, I wish I had better brains than to marry that slob and get myself stuck in a cheap dump like this.
All right. Do you remember taking this picture?
How would I know? I take a lot of pictures.
Well, come on, look at it.
All right, all right. Yeah, I took it. That's what sold you?
When?
What do you think I am? Can't remember what night it is every time a pair of drunks comes in and wants their pictures taken together.
Well, try to remember, will you?
You're a real wise guy, mister. You don't want no picture. You just want some talk. You're a cop?
Friend. I met the little guy in the picture once.
Dusty?
What was that?
I thought you said you met him once.
Well, we weren't introduced. I just met him. Who is he?
Dusty Rhodes. Works the circuit.
What circuit?
Tiffin Main Stem. Business section.
What kind of business?
Dusty handled the razor blade and shoelace traffic. He hates pencils.
What'd he do when he wasn't working?
What does anybody do? He went out and got loaded.
Go on.
Now, you don't know him very well for a friend. How am I going to know I'm not getting Dusty in trouble talking to you like this?
Nobody can get him in trouble anymore, lady.
What do you mean?
He was shot tonight.
Oh, no. Oh, poor little guy.
Do you know where he lived?
Seashore Hotel. The Seashore Hotel. Oh, gee, Miss Nancy. Oh, I'm real sick.
of the seashore caters to many types of people, good and bad, just out of the pokey. 2 bits a night for transients, $150 a week for solid citizens. And sign and register, it's a law.
I'm not looking for a room.
Then you're wasting my time, brother. My beer's getting warm.
Look, I'm a private investigator. My name's Regan.
I liked you before you said them 2 words, brother, but you have soured me. Private investigator means private eye, and it all means cop. And you are not welcome. Now, blow.
I'm trying to find out something about a man named Dusty Rhodes.
We do not ask questions, and we do not give answers. Now, blow.
I was told he lived here.
You find me tongueless, brother. Now, blow.
Did you know him?
During the last 5 years, I have acquired 85 pounds and a very bad heart, or I'd have you in the alley right now.
Oh, yeah, sure you would. Here.
Abraham Lincoln was a very fine man, and he took a very fine picture. I seem to have found my tongue, brother. Will it be?
The key to his room, for a starter, huh?
Disallowable and punishable by fine and imprisonment. Into the hall, turn the Ben Fest door to the right.
Thanks. Well, I don't know what I expected to find there, outside of more razor blades and more shoelaces, with a little room full of dirty white curtains and a wire bed that sagged in the middle. I was standing there watching a neon sign advertise beer a block down the street when I thought I heard somebody behind me. Whoever it was had been drinking bad whiskey, but he was still pretty good. It landed a quarter of an inch above my right ear, and I piled up in a lamp, a chair, and a pitcher full of water.
5 berries get you a look, brother, but doesn't get you a room. Besides, it's already taken and the bed's over there. Now, come on. Hey, you didn't go to sleep, brother. You was knocked to sleep. I apologize. What a game.
Who came in after me?
You're the only one.
You sure?
My name's Sam Preacher. Brother, I'm very sure.
Maybe he was waiting for me, huh?
I don't generally ask him, but the question is this. Why?
Oh, I don't know. Unless...
What's the matter? Something missing?
Just a picture.
You can get lots of pictures.
You didn't see anybody?
That makes the third time, brother, and the answer's still negative.
Okay, okay.
Then let's blow, buddy, huh?
Coroner's office.
Luke, this is Regan.
The lion's eye. What's with you, baby? When did he tell me you walked into one today?
Yeah, I did. You got him there?
Haynes Dudley? Sure. Want to come down and take a look? He's toe-tagged and sorted down real pretty.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Them 32 slugs was just incidental. The guy had 4 weeks at the outside.
All right, give it to me.
Haynes Dudley was dying from malnutrition, alcoholism, and a couple other things with long names.
Give me one long name.
Diabetes. He didn't take good care of himself, funny.
A misspent life.
Somebody's gonna take the gas chamber for nothing.
When did he know this?
Sure, sure. And he was wearing a brand new suit, too. We'll sew up the holes, we'll bury him in it.
Well, you aren't finished yet, Luke.
Baby!
A guy with one leg dropped dead in my place a couple hours ago.
It's after 11.
I'm sorry, Luke.
They connected?
Yeah.
Murder?
Yeah.
Well, come down and see us anytime, Regan. We're open 24 hours a day.
Well, at the homicide office, they told me she'd been released about 10 o'clock. They said a lawyer named Henderson had put up the bail and handled the whole thing. They gave me an address on her, and I went out there. It was a bungalow court on Normandy, and it took her a long time to answer the door.
Oh, you?
Yeah, tell me how tall I am.
Well, I'd love to, but not right now.
They told me you'd been out since 10 o'clock. Maybe I should have come sooner.
Jail giving me the willies. I'm about to take a shower.
I was kind of hoping we could have a drink.
I did better than I thought with you.
I got a hold of a lawyer for you, didn't I?
Yes.
Well, doesn't that rake me an invitation to have a drink?
I said later. I'm really tired.
I said no.
Wait a minute. Well, if you're that thirsty, all right.
That's better.
Isn't every day my boss gets killed and I meet a private detective?
I need a drink. I was slugged tonight.
Slugged?
Yeah, right here, see.
Oh, it looks nasty. Why did anyone do that to you?
Wanted a picture I had.
Whistler's mother?
Just a picture of a couple of drunks who are dead now.
Maybe whoever did it was a relative.
Guess again.
I don't like games.
But you play them all the time.
Don't we all? I know a psychiatrist who says we can't help ourselves.
You can.
I liked you when you walked into the office this afternoon, but I'm not so sure I like you now. Maybe you better go.
Expecting somebody, huh?
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Oh, no, baby. You've got real nice eyes. I want to look at them.
Let go. He's crazy.
Hello, Dave. We didn't hear you knock. Did you bring your piano?
What's the idea?
He gave me.
Why don't you tell him to go away, baby? Anybody can tell we're busy.
Let it go, Regan.
You want to break us up?
Can't you see he's just trying to make you jealous and say things?
Come here, honey.
No. You don't have to do that.
I should let her go.
That the same 32 you killed a one-legged man with?
Oh, for gum sure.
Don't be a fool.
There we are, baby. You're first. I listened to you too long.
He's only guessing. He doesn't have any proof of anything.
You can cry if you want to, baby. This is going to hurt.
She spun around and fell into a coffee table and then lay very quiet on the rug. Her eyes were open and she didn't say anything. She just lay there looking up at him. I couldn't tell where she'd been hit. He seemed to forget all about me because he walked over to her, knelt down beside her, put the gun right up against her head.
This is awful close range, baby, but I can't afford to miss.
Neither could I. Well, when Daddy and I stuck our heads together, and it all came out when we looked into a couple of things. You see, Dave Henderson was Dudley Haynes, and he was wanted for attempted murder and embezzling and one thing or another back in Ohio. So he figured it'd be a good idea to bump himself off. Dorothy helped him with the idea. They both went down on Main Street and they picked up an old bum, dressed him up in a new suit, and shot him. I was supposed to walk in with Dorothy and she'd identify the body, and as far as anybody knew, Dudley Haynes would be dead. Dave didn't figure that she'd be taken down. She didn't figure that she'd get scared, and neither of them figured the man with one leg was a pal of the man that they'd shot. Well, it seems that they'd looked through a lot of files and they'd figured that a lot of murders go unsolved. Maybe they do. I don't know. Well, anyway, he sat down on that little bench up there in San Quentin last week. The one with that bucket of acid in the room. Well, he held his breath as long as he could, but everybody has to breathe. He's buried up there with a lot of other guys that figured they could get away with murder. Dorothy? She wasn't hurt too bad. They had her in a wheelchair for the trial. She got 15 years as an accomplice. Some kind of a deal. State's evidence and all that. I don't think I'll wait for her. She wasn't that good.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at 9:30 next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by E. Jack Newman and produced by Sterling Tracy. Dorothy Nolan was played by Betty Lou Gerson, and David Ellis was Dave Henderson. Lorene Tuttle, William Conrad, and Lou Krugman supported. Perfectly natural and wholesome for some men who want to leave great wealth behind. There's a druggist in a small town in Pennsylvania who'll do that. The wealth he'll leave behind will make many lives easier and happier and finer down through the years. For he was the principal donor of an outdoor meeting place for religious services in a Boy Scout camp in the Poconos. Working with his neighbors in community activities, he saw the need of this improvement, helped to install it. That's the kind of wealth that you can bequeath to generations coming on as you enjoy the freedom of working with your neighbors for the betterment of your community. Freedom that can be anybody's pleasure is everybody's job. Music for this program is arranged by Dick Arant. Next week at 9:30, Jeff Regan, Investigator, brings you another thrill-packed half hour with his story of the House by the Sea. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. I hope you enjoyed the stories today.
and find more from Ellery Queen, Jeff Regan Investigator, past episodes of this show and all the other podcasts at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help out, click on that. You'll find some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. My thanks, as always, for your donations of any amount. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.